ஓம் ஹரி ஓம் தத் சத் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். ஓம் சதா சிவ சமாரம்பாம் வ்யாஸ சங்கர மத்யம வஹை. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. So in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in the first chapter, fourth Brahmanam, tenth mantra, we have seen there was a Vidya Sutram. Vidya Sutram, a brief statement which reveals the meaning revealed by the Mahavakyam. And we also saw that Mahavakyam first comes there, Aham Brahma Asmi. In that context, you can say mantra, the one who sees and worships the Lord as the one who is away from Him, different from Him, and He does not know. That statement is called Avidya Sutram. You see, in that mantra itself, fourth Brahman itself, tenth mantra, is go there. Ataha, atha, yaha, anyam, anyam, devatam, upaste. Have you all found it? Atha, yaha, anyam, devatam, upaste. See, I'm going, in Brihadaranyakam, I'm teaching very, very slowly. You know why? Even if you learn one mantra, one sentence, you must have thorough understanding. That's why I take so long. I'm not in a hurry. Vision is more important than simply going ahead with so many things. This one mantra, that one sentence, see that mantra. Yaha anyam devatam upaste. Yaha, the atha, yaha, அன்யாம் தேவதாம் உபாஸ்தே உபாசதே. அன்யோ அன்யோசௌ அன்யோகம் அஸ்மி இதி ந சஹ வேத. தட் ஒன் சென்டென்ஸ் இஸ் கால்ட் அவித்யா சூத்திரம். அத யஹ அன்யாம் தேவதாம் உபாஸ்தே உபாசதே. அன்யோசௌ அன்யோகம் அஸ்மி இதி ந சஹ வேத. தட் ஒன் சென்டென்ஸ் இஸ் கால்ட் அவித்யா சூத்திரம். வி ஹேட் வித்யா சூத்திரம், சிமிலர்லி தேர் இஸ் அன் அவித்யா சூத்திரம். வாட் டஸ் தட் சென்டென்ஸ் மீன்? யூ ஆல்ரெடி நோ த மீனிங். யஹ அன்யாம் தேவதாம் உபாஸ்தே அன்யோசௌ அன்யோகம் அகம் அன்யா அன்யா அன்யத் அசௌ. திஸ் டெய்டி ஐ எம் வர்ஷிப்பிங் இஸ் டிஃபரெண்ட் ஃப்ரம் மீ அண்ட் ஐ ஆம் த டெவோட்டி டிஃபரெண்ட் ஃப்ரம் திஸ் டெய்டி. ஓகே, அன்யா அகம் அஸ்மி, ஐ ஆம் டிஃபரெண்ட். அன்யத் அன்யோசௌ, திஸ் இஸ் டிஃபரெண்ட் ஃப்ரம் மீ. திஸ் டெய்டி வர்ஷிப் பை மீ இஸ் டிஃபரெண்ட் ஃப்ரம் மீ த வர்ஷிப்பர். And I, the worshipper, am different from the worshipped deity. Aham anyaha, anyaha asau. Okay? This anyoham, anyosau, iti, the one who sees. Yaha anyam devatam upaste. One who worships the deity, the devata, being other than one's own self. One who worships the devata, which is other than one's own self, and having this understanding that I am different from the worshipped devata, the worshipped devata is different from me, the worshipper, achap saha na veda, he does not know. Saha na veda. This one sentence is called Avidya Sutram. This one sentence is called Avidya Sutra. Okay? And here, Why is it called Avidya Sutram? Because here in this, when Shankara Bhagavatpada writes commentary on this sentence, makes it very clear that this person, he talks about the ignorant person. In fact, by way of mentioning this, he also condemns the karmakandas. He wants to talk about the limitation of karma. Exactly how in second chapter, the seventh verses, Bhagavan Krishna says, talks about the karma. Here also he says, Shankara also mentions about it. Even though Vedashastram, of course Vedashastram itself recommends, encourages, emphasizes the performance of karma, performance of rituals. And it definitely, there cannot be living in a dharma without the karma also. So, karma is important, karma is a must, but karma itself should not be depend upon for one's jnanam or for moksha. Because the performance of rituals or practice of meditations or performance of any other actions is important, a must for living this life. Even for antarkarna shuddhi, karma is important. Without performing karma, antarkarna shuddhi itself is not possible. Therefore, jnanam is impossible without performing a ritual or karma, without doing any activities. But doesn't mean karma itself can do everything. So here, for such a karmakandi, when he wants to condemn, and he there, because in karmakanda, worship comes. Worship means definitely that a devata is worshipped and you are the worshipper. And there's worshipped difference is definitely there. Duality is there. Therefore, in jnanam, all this worship should culminate in the jnanam, which is vision of the non-dual reality, where you see, where there's no worshipper, there's no worshipped devata also. Worshipped devata will be resolved as nitya. Worshipper status, worshipper status attributed to the jiva also will resolve. Because when jiva status will resolve, worshipper status also will resolve, devotee status will resolve, the worshipped devata, the deity also will resolve in the very truth as mithya. Because, where Shankara writes a big commentary on this one sentence, because the worshipped devata, it's very natural for us to get entangled, emotionally entangled with the worshipped devata also. We have many Mahatmas and stories in South India. Great people who had great wisdom, great knowledge of the music and all that, even they became attached to the murtis they're worshipping. Sometimes, how it is very easily we can get entangled with any human beings in the world, the friends in the world, pets in the world, we see pets also. It's very easy, very, very easy for us to get emotionally entangled with anything associated with in the world. Very natural also. Okay, emotional entanglement is something inevitable, unavoidable once you associate yourself with anything, including your television serial you're watching regularly. If one day you watch, next day you want to watch. Next day you want to watch, you cannot miss that serial wherever you are. Sometimes you miss, you become so annoyed, I have to miss the program, it will make you very angry. Whenever any entanglement, it can be human beings, it can be things, it can be even cross, and the people know, they're given to do that, and do some artwork, and they cannot do without it. Because Pooja Swamiji once told me, even music binds. Once I went and told him, because I just love classical music. My mother tried to arrange a teacher for me to learn music many times. She was very particular she should learn music. But I had some swarasthanam also. Unfortunately, I don't know, bad parabdha, I could never learn music. And then I came 3-4 teachers. I could never go ahead with the third step. There's the first sarali verses, like that, janda verses, like there's a kramam is there. I could not go beyond the third level of the class. I stopped always. Then I was very sad about it. And any musician comes to Coimbatore, we used to go listen. And that day I'll be very upset that I couldn't learn music. why I'm saying this, I'm not going to tell me your stories, but the fact is, there's only this, she comes, if I listen to this, I cannot sleep, but I didn't learn music. Listen to anybody, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't listen, I couldn't learn music. And Swamiji told, Amma, music is binding, Amma. Dance is binding. You know that? Very beautiful. Nice to dance. Nice to learn music. It's all binding. You compose lyrics. Don't need to sing. Doesn't matter. But you can sing also, no problem, to, as you know. But you, if you could not learn something, you are deprived of something, understand this binding. And why I want to say here in this context, what Shankara writes mentions in this mainly. See, everything, anything you associate yourself with, it can be art, it can be fine art, it can be action, it can be something, people or anything. Even the room you sit in for some time, every day you're used sitting in a given room and you would fall in love with that room. And you won't like to change the setup. You will get upset when setup is changed. So these things will happen. Entanglement, the dependence upon such an atmosphere situation is very natural for any human being. So, what about the devatas we worship then? The same thing will happen even with the object of worship also. We will get emotionally entangled with the murtis we worship, the pictures we keep in our puja room, and also the devatas we worship also. And what happens? It is very difficult to resolve, accept the fact that devata, which I have been worshipping for ages and ages and ages, and I have so much respect and reverence for the devata, you cannot worship something you don't have reverence. You have great reverence for the devata you worship. How can you worship something if you don't have reverence? That is why in the Veda, in Karma Kanda, before any meditation is prescribed, any puja worship is prescribed, the devata is always glorified. And the sentences, statements of the Veda, don't think I'm simply taking your time. I'm saying something very useful pertaining to that particular sentence called Avidya Sutra. So before prescribing any ritual, before prescribing any meditation, that object of meditation, the object of worship is always highly glorified in the Veda Shastra. And such statements of glorification of the devatas is called Arthavada Vakyam. Okay? It's called Arthavada Vakyam. Arthavada Vakyam means they do not give you any knowledge. They do not give you knowledge of the truth. They do not prescribe any ritual. No. The Arthavada Vakyani are associated with karma, any ritual prescribed or meditation. It means they only glorify the object of worship or object of meditation. When they glorify, why do they glorify? The very glorification of the devatas is presented in the Karma Kanda because we need to have reverence. You cannot look up to something. You cannot worship something, bow to something, unless you have reverence. Okay? For you to have reverence for something, thereby to accept it as a object of worship, you must know how glorious it is. That is why Arthavada Vakyam is there in the Karma Kanda. Arthavada Vakyam is to that which glorifies, how glorious the object of worship is. How glorious the devata is. Therefore, we have reverence for those objects of worship. And here, you have great reverence for the devatas because you understood how glorious the devatas are and you worship the devatas for length of time. What happens? You worship and worship and worship. You know how glorious the devata is and therefore you have great reverence for the devata. Therefore, you worship the devata. And after some time, there is a time comes, you discover the fact that devata, which is highly glorified, highly said to be glorious, and you have great reverence for, you've been worshipping, is mithya. You understand this devata being mithya. then you know what happens? You are emotionally, you'll be shattered. Oh my God, I have been worshipping this Devata for ages, is Mithya. It may happen sometimes, but then what is that which will have, will give you all the strength not to be emotionally shattered? You have to discover that what is Satyam. When you discover the fact that Satyam is yourself, when you discover the fact you are the Satyam, and the Devata you worship is Mithya. Devata you have been worshipping for ages is Mithya. And the worshipper status you have also is Mithya. The worshipper status enjoyed by the Jiva is Mithya. The worshipped Devata is Mithya. Worship itself is Mithya. The act of worshipping is also Mithya. If you go and tell any devotee, they'll be very upset. Okay? That is why it has to be understood in the right context. That is why we don't tell people not to come for this Brihadaranyakam class and also Mandukya classes, and they'll get confused. Only if you have studied other classes regularly, attended other classes, then you're okay. You can handle this. Otherwise, you know, see all the people, Vaidikas, great scholars, they all have this jnanam so much. You go to anybody's house, every house has so puja room, so many pictures and so many murtis. They'll be chanting, they'll be doing pujas. That doesn't mean they have no respect. Now they look at everything as Ishvara. Understand it is Mithya, then later on look at everything as Ishvara. For them, not only the puja room pictures, everything outside is also Ishvara. Nothing which is Ishvara here. Okay. Once you understand the concept of God, you understand the Satyam, what is absolutely real, the only reality is actually the truth obtaining as the truth of I, that is yourself. You are the essentially the truth, and which is the only truth of the whole Jagat also, only reality implied by the term Atma or Brahma. Other than that, the worshipper status attributed to the Jiva is also Mithya. The worshipped Devata is also Mithya. If this vision becomes, if the fact becomes very clear, you are safe. You can say, Aham Brahma Asmi. I, the self, am the reality which is of the nature of limitlessness, implied by the term Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. How clear you are saying the wave is water, in saying there's no problem for you. You know how wave is different from the ocean. You know wave is ocean, you can say. You know wave is different from the ocean, the standpoint of Ramarupa. At the same time, wave is ocean, non-different from the ocean, the standpoint of the truth. You know the difference and you know the non-difference from two different standpoints. Isn't it? But you can say similarly, here also, Aham Brahma Asmi, this I, which I always refer to, I used to refer to myself, this I, which is used by all the individuals to refer to one's own self, is like essentially has to be resolvable only in this abstract reality, the Atma, implied by the term Atma only, which is Brahma. Therefore, Aham Brahma Asmi is possible. In the vision of the fact, what happens is the only Satyam, the truth, is only one truth, only reality, without which there cannot be something called Aham, there cannot be something called Idam also. Where is Idam? Where is this? Where is Aham? There is neither Aham nor Idam. There is no real I, there is no real Idam. My God, in Sanskrit class, Aham, Idam, all the pronouns, we break our heads to understand the pronouns. Now we say all pronouns are also not real. What is this? Yes. You have to learn all the pronouns, finally to understand that they are not there really. Ultimately, all the efforts are what for? Any language itself is for what ultimately? The language, Bhasha itself is Mithya. The words are Mithya. Doesn't matter whether you your favorite language or you, the language you hate, doesn't matter. Any language, any bhasha, any words, all the words, everything is mithya. Therefore, here, aham is mithya, idam is mithya, and what is indicated by aham, what is indicated by idam is also mithya. Okay, the word is mithya, the form referred to by the word is also mithya. Then what is satyam? The source of this aham and idam, okay, that alone is satyam, and that satyam, the truth, with the source of I, and the source of this, without which there cannot be manifestation of knowledge in the form of thought. Without manifestation of knowledge, there cannot be expression in the form of words. For expressions presuppose the manifestations in the form of thoughts. And manifestation, source of manifestation is one. And that one and the only reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, implied by the term Atma or Brahma, that alone is there. What about other things? That is what is Brahma means. Therefore, that alone is Satyam. Other than that Brahma, this aham is mithya, this is mithya. Means, here also, the worshipper status attribute is also mithya, the worshipped devata is also mithya. There's no Satyam about it. Therefore, where is the devata? Where is, suppose if a person says, nothing wrong in relatively worshipping, you need to worship also until you become qualified for jnanam. It's very important, worship is important, praise is important. And then that's the only way you can relate to Bhagavan through worship. Relate to the whole Bhagavan in the form of the whole. It's a gradual. No, in fact, it is, Puja Swami used to say, worship is the means for you to learn to be by yourself. If you are asked to sit alone in your room, learn to be by yourself. Somebody tells you, learn to be by yourself. So, okay, you try. It's an exercise, okay? Swami is teaching you. And you stay in one room. One day you stay in one room. And you are allowed to be by yourself. Nobody disturbs you. No, nobody's at home. What do you do? Do you think you can sit quietly by yourself? You will see that any pen is there, you'll take the pen and you start scribbling. Or you'll talk to somebody on the phone. Or you'll watch television. Or you'll be reading books. Or you'll be washing. Or you'll be cooking. Or you'll be cleaning. Without doing anything, you have to be sit by yourself. Don't do any action. Don't think of anything. Don't think of anybody. No thinking of anybody. Not doing anything. And you will do, suppose some pen finished. You don't know how much you would have scribbled also on the pad. Which means you cannot be by yourself. You are with writing, you are with scribbling, you are with talking, you are with cooking, you are with some action. You cannot be by yourself. Very difficult. Therefore, you have to learn to be by yourself. Instead of taking all those things away, the tradition has kept what now? In front of you, Bhagavan, a murti or a symbol which stands for Bhagavan, the whole. The truth manifest is what the whole is Bhagavan, and Bhagavan, again, you can't, the whole, Bhagavan is the whole here. How can you, your little mind which is part of the whole, difficult to comprehend, isn't it? Therefore, the small murti is kept in front of you, devata, or you're asked to see sun or moon as devata, which symbolizes Bhagavan the whole. Any one given devata can stand for the whole. So now what happened? This devata in front of you becomes what now? The symbol which stands for the whole, and you are asked to be with that murti. We are expected to be with that one devata, one murti, or one form, which symbolizes, which stands for Bhagavan the whole. That is how, so worship is a means, prayer is a means by which you learn to be by yourself. Have Bhagavan with you first. Take your attention from everything in the world and place it in Bhagavan. Now what, who are you with? You are with Bhagavan. What does Bhagavan stand for? Bhagavan stands, Bhagavan is the whole. Okay, you are with, thereby you are with, and gradually remove Bhagavan from there. Okay, take the attention from scattered attention to make your scattered attention, make your focused attention. And the focus is on Bhagavan, and gradually remove that Bhagavan also, and you are with yourself. You know, it is like all the kids are given some, you know, they'll put something in the mouth, some lollipop like, and when they fall asleep, the grass slowly the mother will remove it. Until falls asleep, there's a lollipop. And after the child falls asleep, they remove the lollipop in the mouth. Like that, Bhagavan, Murti is given to you. For you to relate to Bhagavan, it's a gradual learning. It's for gradually learning to be by oneself. The whole idea of worship is what now? For it is ultimately for want to learn to be by yourself. So have Bhagavan, thank God Bhagavan will not disturb you in any way. He will not talk to you, he will not disturb you, he will not quarrel with you, nothing. Whatever you say, only one person you will be talking, Bhagavan will quietly listen to all that whatever you say. Which means you can relate to Bhagavan. Isn't it? There's a way, and you are helped. It's a gradual. Overnight you cannot learn to be by yourself. Gradually, you have to learn to be by yourself. That is the idea. That is why the worship itself is here. Anyway, so here, there is again for specific results, for specific accomplishing specific ends. In the Karmakanda of the Veda, there are rituals prescribed. And then there are specific devatas also. And people who enjoy such results, not by worshipping devatas, a specific devata for specific results, and the long run what happened, they definitely attached to those devatas also. You know, very difficult to not to get entangled even with the object of worship. We had a great saint called Tyagaraja, he was crying and crying when his Rama's murti was once thrown away, and somebody threw away his Rama's murti was worshipping into some water, some pond or lake. You know, he really became so emotional because such a great person, had great knowledge of music. And then, even for Mahatma, it happens. What about ordinary people? It is very natural for us to get entangled with this devatas also. And especially when you worship and you enjoy lots and lots of benefits through worship, and then naturally you'll get entangled also. But on the one fine day, the Upanishad has to say what now? Upanishad tells this, after teaching all these things, come on, no, yaha anyam devatam upasate. The same Veda, in the very beginning, come on, says, talk, highly glorifies the devata who? Same Veda Shastram in the Karma Kanda, the beginning of the Veda presents the glory of the devatas. How glorious this devata is, and how nice this devata is, how powerful this devata is, and never worship this devata for this specific end. Your problem with your eyes, seeing power, come on, Surya is the ultimate, no, the devata, all power of seeing, therefore worship the Surya devata. Now for this area is good. Like, I'm going to give an example, okay? So like this, the presence, the Karma Kanda. Where? Same Veda, same Shruti Mata, the same mother, when you were very young, no, she made small balls of rice, dipped in ghee, and she fed you. Now she won't give you anymore, okay? Come on, go and eat if you want. She won't give you anymore. You can't expect your mother all the time giving you, you know, feeding you, backstroking you. No, she can't do that. There's a time, come on, she'll kick you out. Okay, come on, go and do your work yourself. Like the Suti Mata also, in the very beginning, I really see how nice it is. So, Karma Kanda, so much of glory of Devatas. That's why Karma Kanda is so voluminous portion. So much of glorification. Why I'm telling you so this? Somehow, you have to have Shraddha in what you're doing. Shraddha in the Devata. reverence for the devata, then you worship, you bow, you learn to be humble, you seek devata's grace for achieving whatever you want to achieve, which means every devata's contribution is there in your life for your living. Then that is how you express your gratefulness also. That's how worship. That's all fine. And same Veda Shastram towards the end comes to the Upanishad and takes in the way of Taittiriya, this especially Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And here what Upanishad says, same Veda Mata towards the end says differently. No, differently means what? Doesn't say anything wrongly. Because then the end was different. If end was Arthakama Dharma, then come on, have this Devata. This Devata is capable of blessing you with that end you want. This Devata is really glorious because that much glory it has. Worship the Devata, have for this end. But when the end is moksha, end is jnanam, end is then you have to know the truth. Once you come to the truth, in the wake of the knowledge of the truth, the reality implied by the terms Atma and Brahma, you will be very shocked and surprised to know the fact, the worship, where are you first? And where is the worshipper status superimposed upon you? The worshipper status is also mithya. The worshipped devata is also mithya. Okay. And then once the mithya means what? You already resolved cognitively the worshipper status and the worshipped devata. Therefore, suppose if somebody says, no, aham, anyosav, anyahaham, I am different from the worshipped devata. Anyosav, the worshipped devata is, deity is different from me. Yaha, anyam devatam upasate, such a person, Upanishad says, don't blame him, he's just ignorant. Okay? Saha na veda. He is ignorant of the truth. Who says? Same Upanishad says, same Veda Mata, towards the end she says this. In Upanishad says, Saha na veda. He does not know the truth. Doesn't say worship is wrong. Doesn't say and a worshipped devata is wrong. Doesn't say worship, being worshipper is wrong. They're all needed. All of them should culminate in the vision of the truth where you see the worshipper worshipped difference must be resolved. The worshipper is non-separate from the worshipped. The worshipped is non-separate from the worshipper. Why? Essentially they're one and the same. Only one truth. Otherwise he does not know. This is therefore, this is called Avidya Sutram. Okay? He says, this is Avidya Sutram. Atha yaha anyam devatam upasate anyosau anyoham asmi iti aham anyaha asmi iti na saha veda. He does not know. So he does not know. Na saha veda. Not only that, he says, and such a person who does not know means what? He continues to be the performer of rituals, continues to be the offerer of oblations to the devatas. Therefore, what happens here? Upanishad says, he is like an animal. Saha pashuhu bhavati. That ignorant person who performs rituals and offers oblations and thinking that the difference between the worshipper and the worshipped. For you to seek, call yourself an worshipper and to look at yourself as an worshipper, you know, means you must have what? The doership. And doership means you must have identity with the body, mind and complex. You must look upon yourself as a limited individual. You cannot say, aham Brahma asmi and then also I'm a worshipper. Okay? It's not for us to say. It is for us to understand. You can say, relatively, you can be a worshipper and the one who is praying to the Lord absolutely you have to see the fact of actually I am non-separate from Bhagavan whom I am worshipping also. You must be able to see that. But here, Avidya Sutam is brought in here. Why? Because before Upasha is going to repeat many times Aham Brahma Asmi. Aham Brahma Asmi, that Mahavakyam is going to be repeated only once we have come across in this mantra. It's going to be repeated many times again. At least six times, I think we will see that. And why? Because before he finishes six times, it should become very clear for us. And therefore, in that context, he also mentions this Avidya Sutram here. That particular sentence I'm saying, if you go and tell, in temple they'll be very upset. It's only for you to understand. Okay, aham anyaha anyosau iti yaha veda saha na veda. He does not know. And saha pashuhu, devanam pashuhu. Pashuhu, that palatan, pashuhu, an animal means, this person, the worshipper, the performer of rituals to these devatas, is offerer of oblations to the devatas. He offers oblations to the devatas and to keep them in good humor, to please them always. Therefore, so Shastram says, exactly, see the human beings and see the animals, how animals are. Animals do not serve themselves. Animals do not serve themselves. Animals only serve the human beings. Okay, which bull carries another bull on its back? Yeah. Only carries carts. Therefore, all the animals serve only human beings. All the animals. And then because animals do not have that knowledge, if animal also has aham vritti, people come and argue, how do you say the animals do not have this emotions? If animals have the emotion, then they won't listen to you, okay? The dog will bark at you, and every time you say something, it will repeat and say, I won't listen to you. At least bark to say, I will not listen to you, then bark back. Animals just obey. They say what you ask them. You train them to do what you want them to do because there's no free will. There's no aham vrittihi. And because they're ignorant, they're steeped in total ignorance. Animals remain steeped in total ignorance even though they are living creatures. Because they remain steeped in total ignorance, they do not know their own existence, nor are they qualified to know their roots. There's no need for them to know. They live their lives programmed by the nature. Using instinct. But still these animals just serve the human beings. Similarly here, remaining ignorant of the self, remaining steeped in total ignorance, animals serve human beings. The permanent slaves of human beings. Even though we want to be kind, of course Shastram tells we have to be kind to them, we have to be nice to them, we have no right to hurt them. This is all our understanding. But still, animals do serve the human beings. Similarly, why do they say? Because they remain steeped in total ignorance. In the same way, as long as you remain ignorant of yourself also. It is the idea. Okay, as long as you are steeped in this half ignorance of not knowing what you are essentially, thereby, as long as you have wrong identity with the body, mind, and compass, you mistake yourself for a human limited individual. Okay? A limited individual. Having identity with your human form. Human form. Then actually, as a limited being, and you want to be limitless, and for which you seek the grace of devatas to fulfill your desires, to fulfill your wants, to fulfill your needs. And worship, you seek the grace of the devatas. So you worship, but still when you worship means you offer oblations. You're always dependent on devatas. Okay, in ignorance, you are dependent. You are not at all free. You are not independent, you are dependent. You're dependent on the devatas for their grace. You are dependent on the results. You are dependent on the performance for fulfillment of your needs and desires. Therefore, as an ignorant human being also, you are like an animal for the devatas. And here Upanishad says, Shankara writes in his commentary, you are like an animal because of your ignorance and you offer oblations. Suppose if you attain jnanam in the wake of the knowledge, then as a person of fullness, as a person reveling in the vision of fullness, being free from the needs and disease, and you don't need to do karma anymore. Just though I told in other Gita class, you know, that Yavan Artha Udapani, or for the person of, for Vijanataha Brahmanasya, for the person of vision, of the truth, for him, all the Vedas are like the reservoirs full of water in the place of floods. So, then what happens? Karma Kanda itself is not necessary for this wise person. Karmas are not which required. Devata's grace, what devata? For him, every devata is resolved in himself, his own truth. Devatas are not there. So now there's not that he doesn't have any reverence for devatas. For him, he reverence for everything in the world, that because there's nothing which is not Bhagavan here, nothing which is not the truth here. Reverence is not only for the devata, he has reverence for the whole jagat here, everything. See, after jnanam, one does not lose reverence for devatas. After jnanam, he has more reverence for everything in the world, not only for devatas. Why? Because all that is, there is only the truth, only Bhagavan, which is one's own self. Reverence for everything is reverence for one's own self, because everything is one's own self. Understand? So after jnanam, one does not lose respect and reverence. After jnanam, he has the respect, reverence, in fact, as what? Not as a devata, but as Bhagavan, the Ishvara, the whole, as the truth. Everything is Bhagavan. There's no devata. Everything is Ishvara only here for him. And not the Ishvara, everything is one's own self. It is that. Is actually reverence for one's own real self. You know, therefore reverence is very natural. So here what is said is, so this devata, when he resolves, you know, which means the person, when he does not know, therefore, then he cannot be a slave of devatas anymore. Therefore, then he doesn't need to perform rituals, then he cannot offer oblations also to the devatas. When this wise person stops offering oblations to the devatas, stops performing the rituals to devatas, the rituals, wise person stops performing the rituals, or there's no need for him to perform rituals, there's no need for him to offer oblations. He attains, he is a Jivan Muktaha, and after the death he becomes Videha Muktaha. Then there's no more birth for him. The one offerer is lost. Okay, one jiva becomes Jivan Muktaha. Then one after the Jivan Muktaha will become Videha Muktaha. And then one offerer is lost. So the loss, one vote bank. Okay, like people, here also what now? This devatas lose the offerers. How people go away from the class. Isn't, oh my God, I never worry, okay? Oh, people, I have lost my students, what, they don't come to my class anymore. Who cares? People come, they want to come, that's the sannyasi, okay? People come, very happy. People don't come, still I'm very happy. You know why? As long as they are happy, the teaching has served some purpose. Definitely. Now what I want to say here, it is like the devatas lose oblations means, and devatas, so here Shankara wants to say this in his commentary, devatas themselves become sometimes obstacles. Okay, they will cause, they will also prevent hindrances from you, for you to attain jnanam. Devatas, so they will retain you as pashus, animals. We are exactly like animals for the devatas. How the animals serve us, remain being totally ignorant. So we will be serving the devatas throughout, like slaves. Like what now? Being ignorant of the truth. Therefore, here he says, tad devanam pashuhu. Therefore, if you don't want to be enslaved for permanently, and better discover this fact, discover the truth and see the mithyatvam of devatas, mithyatvam of the worshipper status, mithyatvam of the worshipped devatas, and resolve everything in the truth and have reverence for the whole as the one's own self, as the one's own truth. That is the teaching here. So this avidya sutra he comments. Okay, the idea is, what is that which prevents, why one continues to be ignorant? Why this difference is there? What prevents one from attaining this knowledge? There are four factors are mentioned here. One is, first, what is the first reason for one's bondage? You know, the fourth, we can say, the main thing, one is, first thing is karma. What prevents us from attaining jnanam? What prevents us from attaining, discovering the moksha? Why we are bound? Why you are enslaved? That is the first cause is prarabdha karma palam. It is our own karma is the first. The second, then in keeping with the karma, how other things also play their roles. Devatas. Then kalaha, time factor. That is why we say bad time, good time. You have to wait for the good time. We always talk about it, isn't it? So one day some time will change. So we had to understand all these factors here. So devatas, karma, devata, kalaha. Then, vastu swarupam, the nature of the object we associate with. Vastu swarupam. Okay, karma, devata, kalaha, vastu swarupam. Vastu swarupam means the nature of the object you associate with. So all these four factors are involved in our living a life of enslavement. So can we say devatas are responsible for my being enslaved? Being enslaved means living a life of dependence. Living a life of dependence. Living, being dependent. Being emotionally dependent is living a life of enslavement. Enslaved life. Isn't it? So being emotionally dependent, means what? What is the reason? Can you say devata? Devata plays a role. And time plays a role. And of course, vastu swarup, the nature of the object we associate with also is involved here. I tell you one more thing. What is important? All the three can play the roles involved. Mainly, main root cause is what? Karma. Okay, karma. So without, if the parabdha karma is not there, you can say devata alone, we cannot blame. It's not the devata, it is not the time, it is not the object of, the nature of the object we associate with. It is not the devata, kalaha, vastu swarupam. all the three also can have influence. No, in our life, only when our Paradha Karma is strong. So main reason for the life of enslavement is our karma. And here, other three factors also involve, support this our karma. As we, time supports, time also offers, wow, in keeping with our karma, time also is there. In keeping with our part of the karma, devatas also are there. In keeping with our part of the karma, even the objects, the nature of the objects we associate with also is in keeping with karma. Why do I come in contact with such a person? It can be, you know, plus or minus. It can be desirable or undesirable. Doesn't matter. Pain or pleasure. Everything is there. Now what I want to say here is this. Here we are going to see each and everything. How time and devata and vastu swarupam. Kalaha, Devata, Vastu, Swarupam, how all of them are, you know, involved in our living a life of enslavement, life of dependence. And how the karma is the main reason for that. Four factors. And above, for us to free ourselves. So this Devata, not to be afflicted by the Devatas. And also by the time factor. And also by the vastu swarupam, the nature of the objects. We have to resolve the very karma. Free ourselves from the bondage of karma. You are free from the bondage of karma. You are free from the limitations caused by all other factors. Time factor. No devatas. And also the vastu swarupam. You are free from everything. Always we, if you see, you can reduce what is that which really determines, govern my life. If you see, okay, there are only four factors. And mainly karma. And if, how can you free yourself from bondage of karma? Only by jnanam. That is why ultimately jnanam is important. In jnanam, what is the fact you're going to understand? Aham Brahma Asmi. In Aham Brahma Asmi is the fact, and in the vision, the wake of the vision of this fact, you have to see how the worshipper status is mithya, the worshipped devata is also mithya, and it may cause pain, but from the standpoint of the understanding of the fact that Aham Brahma Asmi, that I am the truth, which is of the nature of limitlessness, all the pain can be resolved. Is it clear? Therefore, why I'm saying all these things? We are going to understand these three people, not that important people may say, but still nice to know. That is why in India, the horoscope, you know, the chart is made, at the birth chart. The time of birth, where the planets are, in keeping the planetary positions, there is some amazing mathematical calculation. In keeping with the planetary positions can predict your Paradha Karma Phala. This way, we can predict the what Paradha you have based on the position of the planets at the time of your birth. The chart will tell you the position of the planets at the time of your birth. So you cannot change your Paradha. So horoscope, the reading of the horoscope is not for changing the prarabdha. My God, you just, if you can change prarabdha by reading the horoscope, you cannot change. You only need to understand what your prarabdha is. Okay? It's only science, beautiful science that is. Of course, all about mithya, but still, it's a very nice science to understand. But the one who predicts must have a good knowledge. He may give wrong interpretation also. He can predict wrongly. That's another problem. That's why we don't need to get carried away by too much also those, by those things. But what I'm saying, once upon a time, we had very good people who had very good knowledge of astronomy. Khagola Shastra, who can predict correctly. And you people whoever writes the time, prime of birth also must write correctly. Okay, then they say, they can predict your parandha. What you have in store. Okay, it'll be very clear. Once you know what is in your store, and okay, let me live my life carefully. It's only for living a prudent life. This is only science to help us to live our lives prudently. That's all. Not for changing the parandha. Not to somebody not lose interest also. Even the parandha is okay, very bad parandha you have. The chart predicts also. Still, Shastram tells. You know why I'm telling you all these things? Even if you know the parandha is very bad parandha you have, still you can become absolutely victorious person. You know by how? Just by freeing yourself from bondage of karma. How? By jnanam. So jnanam, aham brahma asmi, jnanam is there. You can free yourself from bondage of karma. You can, whatever bad parabdha is there, still you can be objective towards the parabdha. You can live the parabdha happily and free yourself from bondage of karma for good. So, knowing the parabdha being bad is not to get, oh, my parabdha is very bad. Not to lose heart, not to lose strength. No, it is for us to gain strength. Oh, what is the parabdha? No, you can be objective towards the parabdha, you can free yourself from bondage. Parabdha can afflict a person only who is ignorant. A wise person cannot be affected at all by parabdha. So what can Kala heart do? What can time do? Understand now? Time cannot do anything if you are a wise person. That is why in Tamil, this one verse, Nalan Sayyum, Kolan Sayyum, Namashiva. If what can this, all the planetary positions, what can the time do? What can planets do? What can anything do? If I hold on to Bhagavan's feet, it means what? Holding on to Bhagavan's feet means what? If I have the vision of Bhagavan, if always Bhagavan is there as my own Swarupam, I am one with Bhagavan, what can anything do? Everything is Bhagavan. Everything is myself. Therefore, in jnanam, that is why kalaha devatas. Now all the devatas also may cause obstacles where they don't want those oblations. Devatas means what? The phenomena. We all say it is like a story, which means even devatas also can be hindrance, can cause hindrances only if a parabdha is there. So devata, kalaha, and also what? I said, vastu swarupam, the nature of the objects we associate with, the people, the objects, the things, the places, all the other three factors can influence our lives only if our parabdha is there, karma. Therefore, freeing oneself from the bondage of karma through jnanam is the only means for us to free ourselves from any obstacle caused by anything. Time, devata, the natural phenomenon, and the nature of the objects we associate with. Okay? So this Avidya Sutram, I just started. So we'll continue with Avidya Sutram. I'll finish the Avidya Sutram in the next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.